The dark web can be like a restaurant for identity thieves.
Hi, ready to order?
I'll have the driver's license number.
Great, that comes with a home address or a birth date.
Ooh, both, please.
It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, we'll work to fix it. No one can monitor all transactions, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year at LifeLock.com/aware. Identity theft protection starts here.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back, and we have found our Bill Federer. He's back with us. Okay, so what happened, Bill? We've been having all kinds of problems tonight with this. But that happened.
Yeah, I guess it was just my turn. It was my turn to have a phone problem. I wasn't sure where I left off.
We were talking about Disinformation Governance Board, and I was talking about, I just had read where Pocahontas, what's her name, said the biggest threat to democracy is free speech. And that was on PMSNBC here, where she said the biggest threat. And all of those on PMSNBC and CNN were saying the same thing. Free speech is the biggest threat to democracy. What do you think about that?
Well, that's called doublespeak, and George Orwell wrote about it, where what they're saying is the exact opposite of what's true. And it's part of, like, psychological projection, a term that Sigmund Freud coined, where you accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. It's called blame shifting. But this idea, George Orwell wrote a book called 1984, and the character in the book is Winston, and he works for the Department of Truth, the Ministry of Truth, and all it does is lie. And so his job was to sit in his government office, and the pneumatic tube was a new invention. When you go to a bank and you put your deposit in that tube and it sucks it into the bank lobby, whatever, the teller. So this was a new invention. So this Winston character sat at his desk, and down a pneumatic tube came to him the history that he was supposed to edit. And he would take out his little pen knife and cut out the old, and then he would put in whatever new, and then he would take all the old history and put it in another pneumatic tube that sucked it down into the incinerator in the basement. It was called down the memory hole. That's where that term came from. And so he said every book has been rewritten. Every date has been changed. Every painting has been repainted. Every statue has been taken down. He goes, everything. He says that nothing exists except the endless present, which the party is always right. He said it would be impossible for me to prove the truth, because even if I did the editing myself, the evidence is destroyed. And so the only true history exists in my mind. And I don't know if anybody else shares my memories. And he says, once the erasure is done, it's forgotten, and the lie becomes truth. And so this is what, you have Mao Zedong destroyed thousands of years of Chinese history because he wanted to do something new as People's Republic of China. Pol Pot killed anybody that wore glasses in Cambodia. He said, if you wore glasses, you could read. If you read, you knew history. He said, I want to get rid of history. Whenever Muslims come into a country, they destroy the history, the artwork, the libraries, the museums, the graves. They smash, smash, smash. They erase the history. So the conquering and erasing of history and re-editing it is part of what dictators do. The classic example is 3rd century B.C. China. The warring states period, half dozen kingdoms fighting. One wins, led by Qin Shi Huangdi. And he begins to do things differently than they had been done for centuries before. And he was being criticized for doing things differently. And Qin Shi Huangdi decided that he was tired of being criticized, that he would destroy all records of how things were done before. And so he just burnt tens of thousands of bamboo animal books. And so the idea is that you destroy the history because you want to do something new. And so the misinformation department that Obama is putting in place is that it wants to destroy the history, anything that will challenge the administration, they want to silence.
All right, well, so now that you made a point, you said that Obama, so you're, in other words, you're acknowledging the fact that where this is really, who's really behind all of this, that it's not Joe Obama, but Obama that is pulling the strings.
Years ago I talked to somebody and they said, you know, so you had Obama and Biden in the White House, and the people that were doing the actual work were Susan Rice, Anita Dunn, Valerie Jarrett. And after Obama's out, he moves down the street, builds a fortified mansion, and who works for him? Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Anita Dunn. And well, Biden gets in as president. Who works for him? Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, Anita Dunn. They're basically back in the saddle, and they're reverting back to the Obama agenda. And this person I talked with, and I have no way of verifying it other than I've talked to several people that have said similar things. It's basically George Soros and others like him call Obama and tell him what needs to happen. And Obama calls Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, Anita Dunn, and, you know, James Clapper, and who the other ones are, you know, the John Brennan types. And they basically institute the agenda, and Biden's just a puppet. I mean, he barely can read a teleprompter. He's an embarrassment whenever they put up. But they basically tell him what to say. They're leading him around like an old man. He is not setting any type of agenda for the country. These other people are, and they're hiding behind his ineptness. He takes the blame, and they're happy with him taking the blame for being, borderline senile. But they get the freedom to do their agenda.
Well, Bill, you hit one point that I know I can validate. You said that George Soros is behind. We know this because I think it was Jesse Jackson was writing why Obama didn't come to him to get endorsement. And basically Obama told Jackson, I don't need you. I don't need your endorsement. I have George Soros. So we know from Obama's own words, he didn't need certain people endorsing him, backing him, because he came right out and said publicly, I have George Soros behind me. I don't know if I have that exactly correct, but that's...
Well, yeah, well, here's where that happened. That was happening at the Democratic Party convention.
Right.
Where Jesse Jackson was sitting talking to Andrew Young.
That's what it was, right?
And Andrew Young, or Jesse Jackson, told Andy, and he didn't know his mic was hot. He didn't know his mic was hot. And he said he wanted to cut some body parts off of Obama, he said. When I asked him to come and speak to the Rainbow Coalition, he said he didn't have time. And I asked him, I said, you don't have time for me, Jesse Jackson? And he said, I don't need you anymore. I've got George Soros.
Right.
And that came right out of Jackson's mouth. That came right out of his mouth, yeah. And so,
but
anyhow.
I mean, I know it was a direct quote. I didn't have it exact, but it came from the horse's mouth.
Yeah,
what you were believing.
We're going to switch gears here for just a minute. I'm going to lay something on both of you guys. Well, Joe, you know, for the past year now, I have been telling people, listen, for the past year, I have been telling people that Obama is bringing all of these guys in. These guys are fighting age. These are young from all over the world. They're coming into this country, not just from South America. You've actually found a number of Chinese are coming into this country now, too. And he's bringing them in the middle of the night, and they get flown, and they get placed in cities. Now, here I've been telling people that that what's going to happen is come, you know, this summer, you know, they're expecting a major big outbreak of this Marlboro thing. You know, they're telling you that's going to happen this summer, just in time for the election. Now, here they're going to do this. When Biden wants to have these people in place, that when he gives the word, they start burning down cities. He wants a reason now, folks. You better listen to me, people. He's looking for a reason to declare martial law and bring in the blue helmets into this country. That's what they cannot. The Democratic Party cannot survive an honest and fair election. They know if there's an honest and fair election, they're gone. I mean, they're gone with the wind.
Either so, the COVID a COVID problem where they can shut everything down, or they need violence. And
both is what they're going to do. They're going to do both.
Yeah, maybe both. Just what was
the food shortage
in Portland?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he could use
the food shortage.
And yeah, and that is being absolutely, that is being orchestrated by the Obama crime family. Look, all of these food plants that are being set on fire and torched, that is not just a coincidence. That is being orchestrated. And you notice something, Bill, when the FBI says they haven't found any evidence of a conspiracy, what does that tell you?
There's a conspiracy.
Well, that's that doublespeak. That means there is evidence. Right, so it's the exact opposite of whatever they say. Lord Acton was a British statesman, and he said, "Official truth is not actual truth."
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And then the other part you put in: Russia and Ukraine are the world's largest suppliers of fertilizer, and they can't get any of the market, and so we're going to have a food shortage. Ukraine's the breadbasket for Europe and North Africa; they can't grow anything, they can't ship anything. There's going to be a food shortage. Avian flu in America, the farmers are killing millions of chickens and turkeys. There's going to be a food shortage. Union Pacific is not shipping fertilizer to the farmers in the peak planting season. There's going to be a food shortage. They're not shipping grain to cattle operations.
Listen, I was reading some on that avian flu, and they say that is just made up, that's not for real, that these chickens really don't have that avian flu. This is just a part of what is...
You look at these big food corporations. They're owned by, you know, General Mills and these other ones. Well, who owns General Mills? BlackRock, right? So there's three asset management companies: BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and they own like 90% controlling in 90% of the S&P 500 companies. Controlling interest is held by BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. So we've thought of General Mills and Nestle as competitors. They're not. They're owned by the same three: BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. We've thought of Coke and Pepsi as competitors. They're not. They're owned by the same people: BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. You look at almost everything: pharmaceutical companies, computer companies, information. All these different things. They're owned by these trillions of dollars are controlled. By these small groups. And you had Larry Fink, who runs BlackRock. He says, we have to control what people think. And so BlackRock and State Street have stock, and who owns the most of that? Vanguard. So who owns Vanguard? Nobody knows. They have so many layers of hidden things. But here you have trillions of dollars in the hands of, I mean, more money than entire nations in the hands of just a handful of these little groups, plus together with Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, George Soros, the Zuckerberg, Bezos, you know. And so it's a small group of financial people that wield an unbelievable. And so and this is only within the last 10 years. We used to think of corporations, you know, businesses as sort of, you know, conservative and so forth. Not anymore. They're all woke. They're all owned. And so it's a situation where I was out in Colorado, and the attorneys for Dominion voting machines are the same attorneys for the Colorado Republican Party.
Oh, brother.
And so the Republican Party in Colorado is not interested in cleaning up the voting of Dominion. And you can look at the same type of bribe that the guy in Georgia gave like $100 million contract to Dominion, and he's a Republican.
He's a rhino.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so
you mentioned
it's a battle.
You mentioned the shortage on the fertilizer. Well, it's interesting. The U.S. rail carrier Union Pacific made a decision to cut fertilizer shipments. Well, wait a minute. Right now we're short fertilizer. Why fertilizer, you know, to cut their shipments by 20% out to the, you know, the farms. And this was done without any notice. It happened on the 8th of April. And I noticed that Union Pacific is owned by Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street are the top shareholders. They basically own Union Pacific. So there you go. There's that. And I look back, starting in 2017, there were 8 fires in 17, these industrial on the food processing, 6 in 18, 8 in 19, 11 in 21, and 17 just the last 4 months of this year, or a total of 50 food processing plants or fertilizer facilities. 50 in since 1917. That is not an accident.
Yeah. And then one other aspect
is... That kind of big, huge plants, that can't be just a coincidence, right?
Yeah, so my wife's like, maybe we should get in the business of selling, you know, freeze-dried food or something. We're not yet, so, but I do know people that are. But I also want to throw out the same Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum type people and the response to the Russian-Ukraine war. So, you know, remember when Saddam Hussein was our friend during the Iran-Iraq war?
And oh, yeah.
Rumsfeld were arming and training Saddam in Iraq to fight the Ayatollah in Iran.
Yep.
And then George H.W. Bush more or less gives Saddam the green light that he can invade Kuwait and it's no big deal. But as soon as he does, he gets Bush gets all of the world to mobilize and says, well, out of this will come a new world order. And so you look at Biden, and he more or less gave a green light to Russia, pulling all the U.S. troops off the bases, out of the embassies, and making speeches like, well, we wouldn't do anything if it came in. And Putin took the bait, from my estimation. And then they respond by saying the whole world has to sanction Russia. Now, let's walk this through. The number one commodity sold worldwide is oil. And it's always been sold in U.S. dollars. And Russia is the third largest supplier of oil. But if these sanctions against Russia cut them out of trading oil in U.S. dollars, it's called SWIFT, the International Bankers Monetary Exchange, then Russia is going to sell its oil through rubles or wands or something else without using a U.S. dollar. And then Saudi Arabia, the prince called Biden. Biden would not take the phone call from the prince of Saudi Arabia. Why? Because Biden likes Iran and doesn't like, and so Iran and Saudi Arabia are enemies. And so Biden decided with Iran. So the prince of Saudi Arabia says, you know what? I might sell my oil to China in something other than U.S. dollars. And if Saudi Arabia does, all the other OPEC nations will. Suddenly we're talking 40% of the world is selling oil in something other than U.S. dollars. And trillions of dollars that have been created will not be needed, but they'll come back home chasing the same amount of goods, and the price of the goods will skyrocket, and you won't be able to buy, $1,000 won't even buy a tank of gas. And people will say, how are we going to continue to do business? And the government will come along and says, we've got an answer. It's called CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. It's like a federally controlled Bitcoin. And it doesn't matter how many zeros are on the end of a sales transaction, because they'll just update it in real time and you can continue to do your transactions. But the government will be able to track everyone's transactions. And they can program the digital currency so it can be spent some places and not others. So if your company is listed on a Southern Poverty Law Center list or something, that the money won't go to you. And then they tie this together with an ESG score, environmentally friendly, socially woke, and governance. And basically, they monitor you, all your purchases, all your travel, all your website. They know how long you're on each web page, how many seconds you're viewing each page. They take all this information and they run an algorithm to see how loyal you are to wokeness. And if you're not woke enough, your money can't be spent. Sort of like that little lady in Canada that gave $50 to a freedom convoy and they turned off her bank account. And so if these globalists were to do this, people would scream. But they need an enemy to blame it on. And so Putin took the bait, and he's the perfect enemy, right? He's a bad guy. He's, you know, KGB background and all the other kind of stuff. But he's the perfect guy to blame for all this so that they can institute their CBDC and track everyone's. Over 100, Biden signed on to it, and over 100 countries have signed on to doing central bank digital currencies.
All right, you know, what you're saying, there's an article here by Kevin Barrett, and it goes on to say here, the top story last week was the Pentagon brought together representatives of America's top 8 weapons manufacturers to plan massive increases in U.S. military spending. And in the military-industrial complex profits, in the likely case, the U.S. provoked Ukraine war goes on for years, a Reuters report. The Pentagon official of accusation of acquisition and sustainment, the weapons buyer for the U.S. Department of Defense, will host a 90-minute meeting, and Deputy Secretary of Defense Catherine Hicks was expected to attend. Now, the U.S. has already lavished nearly $2 billion of taxpayers-built weapons in the Ukraine, and with the many tens of billions more in the pipeline. This week, Biden announced another $800 million in arms shipment. Russia responded with a formal diplomatic note warning of unpredictable consequences. Coincidentally, at almost the very same time, the Pentagon held its war profiteers meeting, and the world learned that Americans are already on the ground in Ukraine commanding the war against Russia. French journalist Georges Malbernat, senior international correspondent to Le Figaro, broke the news that Americans are directly in charge of the war on the ground. The neocon war profiteers who orchestrated the current U.S. war on Russia may not live to spend their blood-soaked fortunes. Russia, the world's leader in nuclear weapons, is backed up against the wall. As Putin said, we have nowhere left to retreat. For the Americans, this is a war game for fun and profit and dreams of world domination. For the Russians, it's existential. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting what they're planning. So remember in 2015 when Bill Gates hosted all these people to do, what if there's a pandemic and how will it all shut down everything? And they went through all this at their meeting. And then what happened next? Coincidentally, a pandemic. And coincidentally, they did everything that they had predicted and planned. And so Klaus Schwab just recently has called for a bunch of people to get together and say, well, what would happen if there would be an internet shutdown? And so they're going to meet and plan and everything. And so the thought is, does that mean they're planning an internet shutdown? And it would be discouraging if I didn't have faith. And I keep coming back to the fact that what are the stories we love best in the Bible? It's where God's people are in hopeless, hopeless situations, and he raises up little nobodies with faith and courage, whether it's a Gideon, a Moses, a David, you know, or us. And so Jesus says wheat and tares grow together till the harvest. So you've got your bad guys and your good guys, right? Right. But at some point, it's going to max out on a global scale. And then the end shall come. My wife and I wrote a new book called Believe, and it goes through a lot of the ways to explain the gospel, you know, from God's point of view. And it's quite fascinating. But it's with faith that we're able to face what's ahead. And
here, this goes right along with what you're. This goes right along with what you're saying. U.S., United States, and 60 partner nations agree to global internet in face of China's authoritarianism. The United States and 60 partner nations signed a new declaration on April 28th, affirming their commitment to develop and promote a single global internet in the face of growing authoritarianism from China and Russia. For the Declaration of the Future for the Internet was designed to champion a single interconnected communication system for all of humanity amid surging state-sponsored or condoned malicious behavior. Well, you know, again, we have such a corrupt... and let me ask you something, because, look, everything, every crooked deal that the Bidens were in, they made money. Remember what Harry Truman said? Harry Truman said, listen, whenever there's a politician gets into office and becomes rich in office, you can bet that politician's a crook. Joe Biden has acquired millions and millions and millions and millions in office. And how is he doing that? Well, of course, here's an article here. Talks about Hunter Biden's laptop emails reveal president's son backed a $120 million global oil plot. So, now, isn't it something that these countries always have a way of kind of funneling that money, especially when it comes to the Democrats? The 10 richest U.S. senators are all Democrats. Now, what do you think? How much do you think these nations, these other nations, Saudi Arabia and others, might be willing to funnel money to the Biden crime cartel for shutting down our energy, shutting down our oil supplies, for selling out America like the Clintons did? You know?
Yeah, it's too scary to think about, because we go back to what Bill was talking about with Hillary and all that money that she got roundabout ways and selling our... I have a senior moment. The
uranium one.
Uranium one, yeah. It wasn't coming. But as we look back, all these things that have happened in the past 10, 15 years have been the Biden family, the Clinton family, big Democratic voters selling out America, and it's been the big, like the George Soroses, these people. You very little, once in a while you get a conservative rich person that did something, but it's usually a sexual problem. But the left is just totally, totally occupied with power and their one world order. And I want to just bring, there was in the news, you were talking about this election. One of the things that I'm worried about happened this weekend. Antifa mob went and broke up a GOP campaign rally in Portland. And they were doing some horrible things there, throwing firecrackers. Now, remember, there were older couples there. There were families with children there. They were doing a Fund the Police rally Saturday. Antifa shows up. They start throwing firecrackers at people. They were defacing campaign materials. They had their anti-fascist messages. They destroyed a bus. They were painting all over things. It took the police a long time. They were wiping feces all over the signs. And according to this, the campaign bus was completely destroyed, beat up. And yet, Antifa is not listed as a terrorist organization. They asked about it, and they said, no, Antifa is not a terrorist organization. We have these white supremacists that are the danger. So here, this is the kind of thing that with all those people coming across the border, this is what I'm worried about, turning these people, thousands and thousands and thousands of them that are coming across the border in our big cities, joining with Antifa. Anytime there's a rally, anything, this is the kind of thuggery people will be facing. And I think it's enough to scare people away from the voting polls come election time. This is one of my big worries, that they're going to use it to keep people away from voting.
I don't think it'll work this time. I think people are so angry. I know that if that happened out here, out where I live, people are very well armed. I mean, very well armed. And what happens? They fully expect. There's a lot of talking about forming the militias and that, because.
But again, look at the cities that win in the voting. You know, the big Philadelphia, Atlanta, it takes some conservative. Like here in Missouri, for years we tried to get concealed carry going. Three big cities, almost every county would go for it. But the counties in the three major cities, St. Louis, Kansas City, and the Columbia, and they outvoted almost, 98% of the rest of the state. And this is what I see. They're going to go to the places where they can control the big voting centers in these big cities, especially in the swing states. And they're not going to try and do something like that out here in Missouri. They'd get shot if they did, or in your area, too many people would stand up. But the other areas like Philly and stuff, they've already run, right, in Atlanta.
Well, you're right. Here in Ohio, we now have a constitutional carry.
Yeah.
You don't need any permit at all. Okay.
We have it here in Missouri, too.
It's called Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I wanted to throw in, I was in Houston last week, and the attorney that drove me to the airport had been there 30 years. He says, just since Biden's been in, Houston's gone from one of the safest cities in America to the highest crime. And they said all these illegals coming across, they don't have insurance, they don't have, and he says, you call the police, they don't respond. And he says, all these neighborhoods that used to be nice, like around the Galleria and so forth, they're all getting dangerous and dangerous and more dangerous. And he says that if there's a food shortage, they're going to go to the grocery stores and empty them. When they're empty, what's going to happen? You're going to have mobs going neighborhood by neighborhood, house by house, robbing them and so forth. So this guy's like, I'm convinced this could happen. So he's selling his house and he's moving out into a rural area. And so this is, there are people that have very serious concerns as to these. You know, you have antibiotic resistant viruses. So,
right.
They develop this. You have Roundup resistant weeds. That they've developed there, and so you see, they're sort of like it learns, and then it does comes back around. It's a little bit worse. So, what did they do first? It was called Occupy Wall Street, and they would go into these cities and set up camps. Okay, then it comes back around, and then it take over the cities of Seattle and Tacoma and, Columbus and all these, and they actually take, well, what's the next thing that we can expect? I think it will be serious violence, even killing, even going neighborhood, even setting cities on fire. And I think that, this together with these other crises, their response is to get people into fear, and then people will say, government, we need you to come in and restore order, and the government will come in and take control of everything.
Just like in Hitler's Germany, right?
Yeah. Even in the 1500s, Machiavelli talked about this.
Well, a little farther than that, because they really want to bring in United Nations troops. They want to bring in UN troops into this country. And so you're going to see, and I've been telling people for a year, again, there's a lot of known terrorists that have gotten into this country, and they're all over the place. And look, who was it that was working with that so-called kidnapping of that Whitmer in Michigan, the governor? Who was working?
Our own FBI.
How many of them? Okay, what about 22 agents, FBI agents, were found on January 6th, were a part that was a
security.
False flag operation. I got an article here that says, what the feds are doing to the January 6ers is just a small example of what they want to do to all of you who speak out on January 6th. Protester Dominic Pozzola sends letter from prison. And he says, right, the right to due process enshrined in the Constitution includes the right to a speedy trial by a jury of one peers. Every citizen charged with a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Our laws demand that even those accused of the most horrific crimes of mass murder are guaranteed due process. He says, but under the illegitimate, under the bastard administration of the Bidens, the Biden crime cartel, the Constitution, was the first to go. The First Amendment and the bedrock of American jurisprudence are under siege as hundreds of American patriots continue to languish in solitary confinement without a trial or conviction of a crime for protesting the fraudulent presidential election. That election was stolen, and everyone and anyone who says it wasn't is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth on them. And that's half of Fox News, too. Okay. Dominic Pezzola, an honorably discharged Marine Corps veteran, father and husband, and business owner, has been held hostage by the tyrannical, corrupt, illegitimate D.C. gulag for 15 months. He awaits trial charged with conspiracy, assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers. That, folks, that was a communist false flag operation. Officers, civil disobedience, government property or contacts, obstruction of an official proceeding, robbery of personal property of the United States, restricted buildings or grounds, and aiding and abetting. Okay, I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. Look, the number one cause and blame that we can see right now for all of that's happening, for the high gas prices, the shortages, the food shortages, and all of that, is because the number one guy would be Mike Pence. Mike Pence had the obligation to decertify, not to certify that election. He knew. You had people standing right in front of him with all kinds of information on corruption. And he had the authority, and Mike Pence had the responsibility to say, look, I want to take 10 days and investigate these charges that are brought before us before I certify this election. Mike Pence didn't, and a number of those Rhino Republicans that should have stood, and they didn't. They should have stood, and they didn't. They're the reasons for all of this is happening. You can expect. The Bible says a dog returns to its vomit and a sow to its mire. You can expect the Democrats to act like Democrats. These Republicans, these Rhino Republicans, are the ones that betrayed us. And so, and if Mike Pence thinks...
Pence is the equivalent of a McCain and Mitt Romney, that basically are candidates that cannot get the Republican base energized so the Democrats can keep their hold of power. It's a controlled opposition. But as to what you were saying, I have a degree in accounting, and the partner of an accounting firm signs the financial statements. He certifies them. And if there is something wrong in the statement and it goes out to investors, that partner goes to jail. Ignorance is no excuse. Their job is to make sure that it's true. That's what the word certify means. You make certain, you verify, you audit, you research, you check, you double check, you triple check. You don't just accept. So, you know, if there's a company and they have like subsidiary companies and they pass up some numbers and they just put it into the financial statements and the guy signs it. He can imagine if all the attorneys say, wait a second, you better double check this. There were 27 state attorney generals saying, you need to certify, you need to make certain, you need to do some research on this. And Pence didn't do that. He just accepted it. And anybody that does a little digging can find that a lot of deep stuff, deep state stuff there.
Now, I was watching that, and when that took place, Nancy Pelosi handed something to Mike Pence. It looked like a coin or something. I don't know what that was, but she handed it to him, and they were smiling and laughing. And so, again, we got sold out. He sold us out, and I don't know what that was all about, but. And we're so tired. So I think America is so very, very tired of being betrayed. America, I got a feeling you're going to see a large turnout tomorrow. And then we're going to see what happens. But because we know, and this is why we got to keep telling people what to expect, that this is all planned about the Biden crime cartel. Just like he's been working, the Biden crime cartel has been working hand in hand with the drug cartels and the human smuggling cartels and bringing these people into this country hand in hand. Mariokas is a liar. The man from the day one, he is a traitor, and he should be tried for treason. So,
can I interrupt for a minute? I got a text and have a prayer request that's quite important. And I would ask if you would do this for me. A friend of mine texted me. His daughter is a nurse. Her name is Dominic St. John. And she has an ailment that they cannot figure out what is wrong, but she's been having horrible, horrible vomiting, where she's just like vomiting for hours and hours without almost constant. And it's really almost gotten to the point of life-threatening. They can't figure out how to stop it, what to do. She's been horribly sick. She's been a nurse for quite a few years. And we were asked to pray for her that the Lord had put a stop to this. It's like going through torture. And
what is her name again, John?
Dominic. Dominic St. John.
Dominic. Okay, Dominic. I've never heard that name before, St. John.
Neither had I. Okay. I was double-checked to make sure I was right.
Okay, let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, Lord, guide us. We come before you tonight. And, Lord, I would like to get the folks out there listening. Remember, every time we do this, it's an opportunity for you, all of you people out there that believe in prayer. If you believe in prayer, the Bible makes it very, very clear. Those that show mercy receive it. And there's much power and a lot of prayer. And so here, you know, and the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So join with me. Agree with me in this prayer for this woman, because today it's her. Tomorrow it might be you. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold this Dominic up to you, Father God, and just ask, Lord, that you would intervene on her behalf. Lord, I don't know her, but Father God, my first prayer for her would be, if she doesn't know you, if she has not received salvation, then that would be the first prayer, that she would be saved. And then my prayer would be, Father God, that you would bless her in every single area where she could receive a blessing, and Lord, too. And that you'd be a comfort to her parents and those that are around her, and that you would hedge them around about. And so, Lord, touch her, and Father God, bless her with the greatest gift, salvation, and Lord, touch her, and that she might receive a healing, Lord, completely, and then you would receive the glory. This we ask in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know her parents are born-again Christians, and I kind of assumed she was, too.
All righty. We've
Thank
got
you
to...
for that.
Yeah, these are some lightning rounds, and we're going to have... it's Bill's turn to give the invitation tonight, and so we're going to let him do that tonight. But, Let me just say this. Bill, let me ask you this. When you have people, foreigners from different countries invading your country, when you're being invaded, and I had to laugh because I heard one of Obama's circle bat Psaki talking about Ukraine, saying a nation has to have borders, right? and so here, that according to the Constitution, is it not an act of war? It's an act of war, and who is doing this? It's Biden. Biden is bringing in an invasion of army, from foreigners, and it's doing it and denying it, but he's doing it. And so, anyhow, he has declared war on America, and this country cannot survive another year of Biden. I don't believe we can survive. What do you think?
Yeah, I think their goal is to tank the country. I mean, it's gone beyond, that used to be both sides want to help America. They're just going about it different ways. I think those people that are in, they are determined to destroy the country from the inside. I think whether they're controlled by China, the connections that Mitch McConnell has with China, he ought to be under investigation. Fauci. I couldn't believe, my wife told me today, she goes, I couldn't believe it. There was a Fox interviewer and she was interviewing Fauci like he was somebody that was a trusted source. And she's like, you know, what a compromised news source Fox has become.
Yeah, it has.
But I do have a book. It's called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. The subtitle is How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. And my website's AmericanMinute.com if anybody's interested in that. And we just came out with a new book called Believe, and it's basically presenting the gospel in a way that maybe can reach people that, you know, have not thought of it before.
Very good.
Yeah, that's AmericanMinute.com, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I would validate. I have got a lot of Bill Federer's books, folks. He's got some fantastic books up there. And he is one of the best historians I know. He is an extremely good author and speaker. And his books I use research and reference for a great many things. Too many of them to just list, but go up and take a look at all the books that he has up there. And one of the big things is, well, Scripture tells us what? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, his website is one of the places you can go to get books that will give you some of that knowledge that you haven't gotten from the regular media, from the public school system, or the colleges and universities. So I highly recommend you go there to theamericanminute.com.
I've got to tell you, this is something I haven't seen in a long, long time, okay? And that is for that court in D.C. that calls itself supreme to be unanimous to on it. So here, strongly divided Supreme rule unanimously on one issue, and that one issue is that in Boston, Massachusetts, well, I'll just read you the article. In a public rebuke to the city of Boston, the U.S. Supreme Court has unanimously ruled the city violated the constitutional rights of Camp Constitution, whose officials asked to fly a Christian flag at City Hall through a program that already had allowed multiple private interest groups to fly their banners. We conclude that on a balance, Boston did not make the raising and flying of private groups' flags a form of government speech, wrote Justice Stephen Beyer, one of the court's leftists, in the opinion. That means, in turn, that Boston's refusal to let Chertoff and Camp Constitution raise their flag based on its religious viewpoint abridged their freedom of speech. That is an amazing thing that they actually did something right, huh?
I can't remember the last unanimous verdict that they've had. Can you, Bill?
No. It's pretty amazing.
You got a good memory, and I have a pretty good one when my brain works. And
do you remember when we went to Notre Dame, how when we went down there, how when Obama came in, not only could they not fly any Christian flags, he made them cover, remember?
Cross.
They covered every cross. Every cross on the campus had to be covered so Obama didn't have to look at a cross.
Yeah,
and he probably wouldn't know what a Christian flag looks like.
No. But he knows what a sodomite flag looks like, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He flew the sodomite flag over the White House, didn't he? Desecrated it. He desecrated the White House. And with that, Bill, we're coming up to that time. Andy, how many minutes do we have? Andy. Oh, Andy. How many minutes do we have? All righty. Bill, you've got...
We lost Bill. Maybe we're going to lose Andy.
Yeah, Bill's still there. Bill, we've got 5 minutes, and it's up to you to give the invitation.
Oh, thank you. Well, in this new book, Believe, that my wife and I wrote, we present the gospel from God's point of view. So think of God. Here he exists for eternity. He makes everything. Time, matter, space, energy, and everything obeys him. To get an idea how big God is, in 2003 they had the space shuttle, the Hubble telescope, focused on a spot in the sky where there was nothing. It was the spot was the size of a grain of sand held between your fingers up at arm's length against the night sky. And there was nothing there. For 11 days they developed the images, and in that spot was 10,000 galaxies. with hundreds of billions of stars in each galaxy. And it revolutionized astronomy. It's called the Hubble Ultra Deep Space Field. And they began to look in other directions. And now they've come to the estimation that the observable universe is 93 billion light years across. And get this, still expanding at the speed of light. And the largest star they found is Stephenson 2-18. It's a super gas giant. It's so large, if you were to place it in our solar system, it would engulf the orbit of Saturn, the sixth planet from the sun. We're the third planet. Could you imagine one star that big and God made it all? And what's a galaxy anyway? It's a bunch of rocks, hot rocks, cold rocks, vaporized rocks. A rock cannot love you. So at some time in eternity past, God said, been there, done that. I can make everything and everything obeys me. I would really like someone in my image that could love me. And now it gets interesting because love by definition must be voluntary. The moment it's forced, it evaporates. If God were to force you to love him, he himself would know he's forcing you to love him, and he would know your response is not a love response. So in this framework of everything he controls, he created one little thing he doesn't control, your will. Now, he could control it if he wanted to, but that would defeat the very reason he made us different than everything else. And he doesn't need our love any more than parents don't need the love of their children, but the parents want it. God doesn't need your love. He's not incomplete in any way, and your love completes him. No, he's complete all by himself. He doesn't need your love, but he wants it, and he created you as a being with the capacity to love. And so that's the first thing. So he creates us as free will beings. The second thing, though, is he has to hide himself behind creation, because if he ever revealed himself to us in all of his universe-creating glory and omnipotent power, your response would be instinctive, like the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, I fell at his feet as dead. And it would be an instinctive response, not a voluntary response. And God said, I can do instinctive. I'm interested in this voluntary. So he hides himself. People say, well, if God's real, why doesn't he show himself? Because the moment he showed himself, it would not only prove he's real, it would remove your free will. And the same hiding of himself that creates our free will, it necessitates that we have faith. And so I use the example of a billionaire whose son goes to college, flies in on his private jet, drives up in his Lamborghini, has an entourage following him around campus. He's going to have every girl wanting to meet him. But if he lays all that aside, drives up in an old clunker, has got holes in his jeans, the uppity girls are going to ignore him. But there's a girl that likes to study with him in the library, and they eat together in the cafeteria, and they become friends. And she takes heat from the clique for hanging around this nobody guy, but she believes in him. They fall in love, and they get engaged. And then he says, hey, I want to take you back to meet my dad. And they're driving up to this castle, and this girl's like, whoa, you didn't tell me about all this. He knows that she loves him for him, not because of all of his stuff. Right? And so Jesus laid aside his glory and was born in a barn. Right? It says in Isaiah 53, there was nothing in his countenance that would make us want to desire him. He laid aside all that because he only wants those that love him for him. So God created us as free will beings. He hid himself to create the situation, the circumstance that allows us.
30 seconds. We have 30 seconds, Bill. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, but the last part of it is he's just, which means he has to judge every sin. And so he is Abraham and Isaac going to the top of Mount Moriah. Isaac says, Father, we have the wood for the sacrifice, the coals, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And that's what happened. God provided Jesus, his only begotten son, to become the sacrifice for all of our sins.
And we're out of time. We're out of time. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.